don't know about you, but I know what my soul needs the most at times. And sometimes my soul just needs to sit still and get deep in touch with the peace that God has for me. A peace that can run deep within our souls. A peace that can lift us up and encourage us. A peace that this whole world really looks for, don't they? A peace that everyone is trying to find. How do I get a hold of peace, and how do I hold on to it? I've got a very short passage I want to read to you today, but it's a very powerful and a very deep passage. Simple words, but there is powerful meaning in the midst of these words. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you just want to get a hold of that and say, I want to make that a part of my life? That peace which transcends all understanding. I just want it to be part of me. I just want it to work in the midst of me that I can go forward. Now, I want you to understand, though, that this is both an external and an internal peace that is greatly desired by folks. I can remember as our three kids were growing up, one of the things that my wife asked for more than anything else was to have peace in the house. That external peace, right? You've got two boys living in the same room. Got a girl that's got a little room all by herself. I wasn't as smart as my mama tried to make me out to be. She told me, never have three kids. And I said, why not? Because I've got a brother and a sister. There were three of us. I'm the eldest. My brother's the youngest. He's 6 years younger than me, and it's about 3 years between my sister and I. And my mama told me, she said, when you got three, it's always two against one. Doesn't matter. It's always going to be two against one. Some of you may wonder why I'm a contemplative and why I'm an introvert. I learned how to get in trouble so that I could get sent to my room so my brother and sister couldn't mess with me. Didn't always work out in my favor, though. Because I got in trouble while they were off doing something for teaching them how to do it. But Deanne always just wanted, amongst the three kids and amongst what went on in the house, just a peace. So there's a lot of people out there looking for that external peace. They're looking for that peace at work. I want to work at a place where it's comfortable, it's peaceful, it's pleasant to come into. I want to live in a neighborhood where there's peace. I want to live in a world where peace prevails. That's that external peace. But there's also an internal peace to that. There is an internal peace that happens within the midst of us, that we feel comfortable with what's going on. And sometimes that peace happens in such a way that we're just able to let go of other things that may not be at peace. Right? It inhabits us in such a way, and we're able to just let go. The fullness of this peace that we all look for, it brings a calmness, it brings a wholeness, and it brings a completeness. It brings a calmness, it brings a wholeness. We feel all together within ourselves and with what's going on around us. It brings a completeness, not mainly of understanding, but it brings a completeness that the world is right around me and what's going on around me is right. A common greeting in Israel even today is shalom. And that word, if I simply translate it, means peace. But when I translate it that way, it leaves out so much more. It means a wholeness. A wholeness for being who God wants you to be. A completeness as God would have us be in all of our life with everything that's going on. Now, Paul provides a pathway to this peace in this very short passage. He provides a pathway to this peace in a very short passage. And if the computer had been working this morning, I had a picture I wanted you to see. A picture of Paul possibly writing out this letter. And as he was writing it out, he is chained because he's in prison. He's chained by the wrist and he has centurions near him watching over him. As he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, he is chained up and in prison. Now I want you to hold on to that picture because I'm going to read this passage for you again before I outline for you what I think Paul wants us to understand a little bit better about peace and how to get there. I want you to think about Paul in a dirty, musty, smelly prison, being chained, having centurions near him so that there's no chance of him getting away. And he's writing these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We might almost want to say, Paul, how dare you write those words in a dirty, musty, smelly prison while you're chained up? Right? Paul, how can you even think these things at this time? You're in prison. They've got guards standing right near you so you can't get away. Because he's gotten away before. And they're worried and concerned that he might get away. And he sits right there and he says, rejoice. And again, I will say it, rejoice. We might want to say, Paul, do you know where you are? Do you know what's going on in your life and what's happening to you? I'm hoping not many of you have ever found yourself in that position where you're chained up and you're sitting in one of the worst places you possibly can, and there doesn't appear to be any chance that you'll get away. You know, Paul provides a pathway for us here. A pathway of understanding of how do we grab a hold of this peace that brings a completeness and a wholeness to us and brings that completeness and wholeness outside of us. Well, the first thing that he says, which is really, really hard for us to grab a hold of, rejoice in the Lord always in all situations, is what Paul's saying. No matter where you find yourselves, God is there. So rejoice. Be positive. Be excited about what's going on. I don't know, Paul. I mean, come on, talk back to him, right? Because that's what you're sitting there thinking. Paul, how can you do that? Paul finds positive things that are happening in the midst of where he is. And he's excited about that. You can see in some of his other letters, he says, I am glad that I've been put in prison. Because you know what's happening while I'm in prison? The guards are coming to Christ. People are coming to know about Jesus Christ. People are seeing what God wants to do for them while I sit here in prison. He finds something positive about what's going on. He finds something exciting about what's going on. He does not center upon the negative. He centers upon that rejoicing that he can have because God is still in his life and God is still working through him. Maybe sometimes you've had a bad day, right? There's some wonderful things about having a bad day. Did you hear me? There's some wonderful things about having a bad day. They can't take your birthday away. Some of you might want your birthdays to be taken away, right? So you don't get any older. But they can't take your birthday away. And they can't take your relationship with God away. Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on and what's happening and where you find yourself. That relationship with God is still there. It's still powerful. It's still deep. And as Paul is chained and in shackles, as he's sitting there, he says, rejoice. I still have my salvation. They may have put me in prison, but my relationship with God is there, and it's as powerful as it's ever been. And Paul says what in the midst of this? He says, the Lord is near. Rejoice. Now, I do want to recognize, because somebody's going to ask me, rejoicing is different than being happy. Okay? Rejoicing can happen in the saddest and the worst moments in our lives. But happy doesn't always happen there, does it? But rejoicing on what God can do in the midst of that situation is the first step to finding this peace in our lives. Because if I can rejoice in what's going on and what's happening around me, I know that God is still working. I know that God is still powerful. No matter where I find myself, no matter what's going on, I still got my birthday, and I still got my relationship with God. Rejoice. And Paul says, if you didn't catch it the first time, I want to say it one more time. Rejoice. The second thing that Paul talks about here is he talks about allowing gentleness to inhabit us and to be evident through our lives. Allowing gentleness to inhabit us and to be evident through our lives. That's what Paul was. I mean, Paul could very easily be angry in prison, couldn't he? Something going on, something happening. He knows he's doing God's work. He knows he's doing the right thing. He knows he's telling the truth. And God, I am mad because I'm here in prison. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul was a model prisoner. There's no doubt in my mind that he treated those around him with great gentleness. And it's because of that gentleness that was evident in and through his life that people came to Christ. Are there things that get me excited? Yes. Ask Deanne if you need to know. She knows well about those things that will get me excited and get me stirred up and get me saying all kinds of things that... And sometimes it's the most simplest of things. The most simplest of things. I mean, just the other night, it was being at a restaurant, and Somebody pushed their chair back into my chair. And I said, you know, maybe I was taking up more space than I should have. Let me scoot my chair in a little bit to the table. But when they did it a second time, went outside and I told Deanne, I said, if I was still that old redneck that I used to be, long hair and a full beard, I'd have turned around and she said, that's enough. It happens. But when those type of things happen, can you let gentleness just ooze out of you? Because I never did say anything to the person. I did everything I could to stay calm. I just had to vent once I got outside. Because you know what happens if you don't vent, right? This ain't a soda, but what happens when you go to vent it, huh? But Paul says, let that gentleness just ooze out of you everywhere you go. Let it be evident to folks. I was excited the other day when I went into the bank. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Went into the bank to do some business, and the lady looked at me and she said, I'm just so glad when you come in. And she told me, she said, there's always a spirit about you that just, it's wonderful to see you. This is what Paul's talking about. When we go places, does that ooze out of us in such a way that people say, wow. Wow. That's the second pathway to peace. Coming to find that gentleness, that easy spirit, that spirit that just says, I'm relaxed. And for those of you that say, well, Pastor, it's easy for you. No, it's not. It requires God's action in my life. I told the staff the other night when we met, there's about 12 trains running in my head all at the same time. All on different tracks, all going different directions, all doing different things. There's only one way to find gentleness there. It's letting God work in and through me. Because I ain't found a way to stop the trains yet. If you know how to do that, please share the secret with me. Because sometimes I think I only really need one train, but those other 11 don't listen. The last piece of this passage is Paul says, once we apply, he says, turning our anxieties into conversations with God. Now, many people pick up on it, says right there in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Wow, Paul, you really said that? Man, Paul, I wish I had that type B personality where I could just sit down and not be anxious about anything. Read some of Paul's letters and you can see great things he was anxious about. You can see how he was excited and anxious about making sure that people knew about Jesus Christ. He was excited and anxious when churches didn't work right. By the way, the letter of Galatians, the letter to the Galatian church, it's not a pretty letter. Paul is very angry as he writes that letter. And he talks to him over and over again about, you better get this right. Paul was anxious that they got it right. But yet he says here, be anxious about nothing. Here's the secret to this. It's not being anxious for nothing. Anybody ever tried to stop a bad habit? Got a bad habit you want to stop? You got to replace it with something else. You have got to replace it with something else. And Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Instead, turn those anxieties into a conversation with God. Talk to God about it. Share with God about it. Open up about it. And God, I'm anxious about this, and I'm concerned about this, and I'm worried about this. And have you ever read the Psalms very closely? I love the book of Psalms. Read at least 4 Psalms a day. Many of them start out with words of praise, and then they turn into words of anxiety. And watch what happens as you read them. Towards the end of most of the Psalms, not all of them, it comes to a place where you can see a quiet peace existing in the psalm writer. They took their anxieties and they turned them into conversations with God. Paul says, by prayer, with thanksgiving, right? Conversation with God is what prayer is. It's not formula words. It's not, oh, if I say it in the right way, God will answer my prayer. It's just a conversation with God. And Paul says, if you will take your anxieties and your worries and your concerns and your burdens and you will turn them into a conversation with God, he says, look what happens. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you want to know that peace that you can't understand, that wholeness and that completeness, once we apply ourselves to these steps, and I'm talking about rejoicing, allowing gentleness to live through you, I'm talking about turning your anxieties into prayers. Once we apply ourselves to these steps, a peace that we will never fully understand will envelop us. Have you ever heard anybody talk about that? And they said, I really can't explain this to you, but all of a sudden I got this peace. Folks, isn't that what everybody in this world's looking for? A peace that will envelop us. A peace that happens not only externally around us, but also internally. And we go, go ahead, take a deep breath. It's okay. Just take a deep breath, hold it for a second or two, and let it out. Sometimes we need that to slow down and find that rejoicing, to find that gentleness, to find that ability to turn things into a conversation with God. And when that happens, I don't know where it comes from, other than knowing it comes from God, it just all of a sudden this peace comes in and we can relax and we can be comfortable. And we can't even explain that to anybody else, can we? Almost found that place while the choir was singing. Needed to sing it about 2 or 3 more times. Just a quiet place where peace comes in. So here's what I ask you. Which one of these steps? Which one of these steps, rejoicing, gentleness, or prayer, do you need to make a larger part of your life to experience peace? You see, we can see all three things, and we can go, gosh, I don't know if I can work on this and this and this. Gosh, that's three tough things. Let gentleness be known in me and through me. You ever met those people? That's all they know how to do? Get up in the morning and it's, well, I'm going to get me one of these coffee cups one of these days. It's labeled at the top, don't talk. And part of the way down, it says, we're almost there. And right down towards the bottom of it, it says, you can talk to me now. It's hard to work on all three of these things, isn't it? Rejoicing, gentleness, prayer. But I'm asking you, which one of these would be best for you to work on first? Which one of these do you need to make a larger part of your life so that you can experience peace? Just pick one of them. And as you pick one of them, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you right now with hearts and lives that want nothing more than to experience this incredible peace that you have for us. An external peace and an internal peace. A peace that can rejoice in all situations. Find the positive and not look at the negative. A peace that allows gentleness to flow through us. A peace that continues to come to you and open our lives to you in conversation, just as we would with our closest friends. Lord, help us to see so that maybe, one day we can get where Paul got. And if we happen to be in the deepest, darkest, smelliest prison, chained up, with guards right there watching us, that we too can talk about this peace that's too hard to understand, but that we know is right there. Please, help us, Lord. Help us. Amen.